Yeah, I suppose that's a bit offsides. Yeah, we actually are in the same room right now. I am looking at Rick. He is looking at me. We can fist bump across the computer. It's amazing. The boys are in the house, so thanks for coming.
We've had a lot of fun the last couple of days just spending time together, talking about geocaching and cults. How's that for a segue?
Yeah, sure. I mean, who doesn't like hearing about that? So, so Rick is up here on business for his denomination, which used to be my denomination, and was kind enough to stop by the church to give us a good talk on cults and how to reach them and understand them. And it was a blast. We had a great time.
Good questions. Good group. I mean, you've got people who really think through things, and I really appreciated that.
That's awesome.
I love being challenged with questions, and some of those questions that young man was asking were good, challenging questions. And I thought, yeah, man, he's thinking through this. This is awesome.
That guy. I see him sitting there, kind of as a young guy, big wooden cross around his neck, just sort of asking, like rolling out these questions, almost free associating. And I'm like, holy crap, it's me, 1993.
Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was just cool. I mean, to me, that was like, I hate to say it, that was the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
Your speech was great.
Yeah.
but
the highlight is always seeing people respond. That's always the way it is.
Yeah. And it was, to me, that was like, it was a chance like to see some of God's full circle of grace.
Yeah.
Was to be the guys that I always held in such high esteem who would stay after and spend that time with me.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of questions, I've got a question for you.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Have you ever been told to do something and then not do it?
No, never. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
But I mean, in particular, because of the person who told you. For example, you might think, well, this person is not my supervisor. I'm not going to do what they tell me.
Or, how much authority do they have?
Yeah, you're not my pastor. You can't tell me what to do.
That's a security guard, not a cop.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And I know it's been very, very rare for you. However, I thought there might be an example or two that you come to your mind, and you don't have to share the embarrassing one.
They might be in the plural category, I would say. Yeah.
I know. I know there have been times when somebody's told me something, and I look at the person rather than what they're saying, mm-hmm. and just discount it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because what do they know?
Yeah.
So, but there's an interesting tidbit in the story of Jesus' resurrection that I thought would be interesting to share on our geocaching scripture for the day.
Indeed.
Did you ever notice that one of the first people or persons that Jesus gave mission to was a woman?
Hmm. Interesting.
Mary. Magdalene and Mary's mom. It says the two women went to the tomb. And so I'm going to read Matthew 28 and then we'll kind of talk about it. Matthew 28 and verse 5, it says, and of course they had come to the tomb, and according to Matthew's account, they see an angel there. And so it says, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I always laugh at that because, like,
sure.
Good grief, they're afraid. It's like, how many angels have you seen? It's like, don't be afraid. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Is the entity that looks like an atom bomb?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Do not be afraid. Okay, sure. Thank you very much.
Sure, that's fine.
Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he's risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I've told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear. Evidently, they didn't obey that.
Yeah.
Do not be afraid part.
Yeah, they missed that.
And great joy, which is kind of an interesting combination of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him, and then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
There you go again. Mm-hmm. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Mm. So, Jesus gave them a mission. Go and tell.
Go and tell.
And
go and tell.
They did.
They did.
Yeah. And, of course, the disciples just ran right out the door and ran to Galilee,
right? Mm-hmm. No.
The disciples didn't believe him. In fact, Luke, I love the way Luke says, he's really quite blunt when he says, these words that these women shared seemed to the disciples like an idle tale.
An idle tale.
Yeah.
You know, how women are excitable, you know.
Well, I mean, considering the fact that at that time, women were not even considered.
Right. You know. Right, yeah.
So, excitable, they don't care. It's just like, this is a woman telling me, it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's like a dog telling me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not believe him. So, we know the story, Josh. I mean, two of them went to Emmaus, and that's an amazing story. They're walking to Emmaus, and
sure,
Jesus comes along, walks alongside them, shares how all the prophecies come to pass, and they're still clueless,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, we probably would have been too, but I mean, it is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
they were clueless.
Yeah.
Until they broke bread. They realized who he was, and they rushed back to Jerusalem. And I don't remember how far that is, but it was a good hike.
Mm-hmm.
The others are huddled in a room behind locked doors, scared to death, trying to figure out next moves.
Yeah, so far, nobody going to Galilee. Emmaus 2, upper room 9 or so,
well,
Galilee 0.
Because Thomas wasn't there, remember?
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so it just gets more convoluted. And I mean, you can kind of imagine what they're thinking up there. He must not have been the Messiah.
Right.
You know, we're still under Roman rule. And now are we fearful of the Romans, but we're fearful of the Jews, because if they killed him, they're probably going to come kill us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they did not follow instructions.
Mm.
Now, Josh, if you read Matthew's account of this, it's really interesting, because my Bible has a little dot, 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 which indicates, you know, when you're writing it, it indicates this is a different thought, might have been later in the passage. And it probably was later, because Matthew simply says, and then they met Jesus on the way to Galilee. It's like, I don't want to admit that we didn't do what we were told. It was a few weeks later. But anyway, so you have two disciples headed toward Emmaus. You have several in the upper room hiding. Thomas doing who knows what or where.
Who knows where, yeah.
And none of them believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Even though, remember, two of them had run to the tomb and saw that the tomb was empty. But they still didn't believe that he had done anything about it.
Now, is that in Matthew's account, or is that...
I believe that's in Luke's account.
Okay.
Or maybe John's.
Yeah. That might be John. Yeah, it's very hard to harmonize the timeline of the way these things happened.
Right.
Just because seeing something like this, which nobody had ever seen with human eyes before, is a bit like, you know, well, what was Bigfoot like when you saw him?
Yeah.
And you get like 10 people, and they're all going to describe it differently. For some of it, it was traumatic. You know, and so they all sort of say, well, this happened and then that. Wait, no, that happened first. No, this, you know,
like
the end of the Gospels are all like that. They're sort of like this.
Well, it's very
describing
similar to
a crime scene almost.
Yeah, it's like,
you know?
I was going to say that. It's like describing a crime scene. Everybody is so traumatized that you can't even agree on what color the truck was, you know?
Right. Absolutely true.
So, but it's interesting here is what's interesting is that what did Jesus do? You know,
right.
So. So first he meets with the two going to Emmaus, as we mentioned. And then what does he do next? Well, obviously what he did would have been what I did. He goes to the upper room and chews out the disciples. What the heck's wrong with you guys? Can't you follow
a
simple assignment?
That's exactly
I
mean,
I told you
how it
go.
Is. It?
I told you, I'd meet you there. What are you doing up here?
Yeah, get it together. Yeah. Would you shut up, man? It's like a presidential debate, you know?
Oh, my word. Yeah, can we get both of them to shut up? Anyways.
Exactly.
No, what's fascinating is he understood their unbelief. And he understood their fear. So he met them where they were. And he said to them, peace be with you. Which is probably the best thing he could have said, you know? Just relax. You know, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. Shalom.
Shalom, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that wasn't the end of the disbelief because the disciples then told Thomas, hey, he's alive.
Hey.
And Thomas says, no, I won't believe until I put my finger in the nail hose and my hand in the hole in the side. And again, Jesus said, well, then to heck with you, you don't get to see me then.
Mm.
No. He's,
no.
He came right to him.
Mm-hmm.
Came right to him. And interestingly, I get a kick out of the fact that we call him Doubting Thomas, which he did doubt. But what he should be known for is he was the first disciple to declare my Lord, my God. Mm-hmm. He was the first one to recognize who Jesus was.
Thomas the theologian.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the interesting point here is that the beginning of the New Testament church, the beginning of the mission, I should say, of the New Testament church, did not start out in a glorious and a wonderful and exciting and powerful way. And Jesus was not put off by it.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that we will never know the opportunities the disciples have missed because they did not go right to Galilee. Very similar to, we never know how many opportunities we miss because we don't respond in a way that perhaps we're being led to respond at that time. But God is so good, He just gives us other opportunities. I mean, we are going to be on mission. Well, we are on mission. We always. Are on mission all the time.
Always, yeah.
Whether what we present might be different at times, but we are always on mission. Mm-hmm. But it's like God is just saying, you know, I'm not going to be put off by the missed opportunities. I'm going to take advantage of the ones where you are joining me. Mm-hmm. You know, and look what happened to the disciples once they got that. Mm-hmm. You know, once they did meet him in Galilee. And of course, that was kind of an exciting time. They meet him on the way to Galilee and he disappears.
Well, there's that.
The ascension was kind of exciting. But, I mean, you know the rest of the story. The disciples and many others became devout followers, sharing the story of Jesus wherever they went. And what's fascinating to me is some of them, they shared their disbelief. They shared their own weaknesses.
Their story of disbelief. Yeah. Right. Right.
And I think that's really an important thing. But we're here today because they did believe. Mm-hmm. Right?
Kept going.
Yeah.
God kept working with it even though it didn't fly off the way he wanted it to.
Yeah.
Or the way that would have been perfect. I mean, we have no idea how he wanted it to.
Right.
Whatever it was, it worked.
And I think we need to think that in terms of our own comfort with our relationship with God, is because I know there are times in my life that I have not responded to a directive that, because perhaps I rejected the person who was giving me the directive, not realizing that it was from the Holy Spirit through that person. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps it was just my own lack of desire, you know. Mm. And I know that you probably only had one of those in your life, but I've had a number. Yeah, I mean, you will have one of those in your
one
life.
One and a half, yeah.
But here's the thing. He never stops inviting us to join him in what he's doing. He never stops coming to where we are. He never, you know, it's like the podcast we did the other night with these people came because they were hungry. But, you know, there's a lot of people who could have come who will then hear about it and say, oh, I really missed out on that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But God doesn't hold that against them. Mm-hmm. You know, so he'll just provide another opportunity for them.
Yeah.
You know. So here's the deal. I think that I think that what God wants us to do is he wants us to have the joy in sharing his love and his life with others so that we get the joy of seeing somebody respond like Thomas did. You know, like that young boy and that young girl did the other night. Mm-hmm. My Lord and my God, that you just saw their hunger for God. And I think that sometimes a mission is doing amazing things and making huge differences. And sometimes it's just God simply telling us, all I want you to do is acknowledge that I am Lord. I'm your Lord. He's my Lord and he's the Lord of Lords.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.